This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Sir, second time. We had so much fun the last time. I was fighting the urge to get back to you right away. How you doing?
I'm great, Adam. I knew everybody in North Carolina was nice, but Victoria takes the cake. She might be one of the nicest people I've ever spoken to. But not all the fans were always nice to me in Raleigh. Sometimes they booed me, but I knew they really liked me.
They do. They love Victoria. And I think they love you too. I thank you very much for coming back. I do want to ask you a couple of officiating things before we get to some actual hockey matters. And one is, I don't know if you watched it or not last night. I watched Tampa and Florida, and there were two goals that were one goal disallowed and one goal that was waved off. That upon review, they determined that the call was correct. I saw both of them as they should have been goals. And I think it's such a judgment call that it's almost hard to get in the mind of why decisions are made. So let's start with the first one, which it looked to me like Gustav Forsling was pulling Anthony Duclair, trying to pull him away from Sergei Bobrovsky. And then the reverse momentum carried him into Bobrovsky. But he didn't really have a chance on the goal anyway. I didn't understand why that goal was disallowed. Can you walk me through that situation?
Well, both situations, unfortunately, for John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning went against them last night. And I tend to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you on 50% of everything you said. And that is the first goal with Duclair. I felt that should have counted. I agree with you 100% on that. I'm still confused by the outcome and the officials make the call on the ice, but then they confer with the situation room in Toronto. And at the end of the day, the situation room has the final say, and they have a tremendous amount of experience in there with Chris King and Colin Campbell and other supervisors. So I trust their judgment. Unfortunately, for Tampa, the second goal I was in complete agreement with. You know, I had people saying, on social media that Mikko Niikkala pushed Cirelli into the net,
right,
into the crease. He didn't push him in.
No.
I watched it a half a dozen times. He didn't push him into the crease at all. Cirelli spun off him.
Yeah.
Trying to get room. And when he spun off him, his momentum carried him in the crease. It was only a foot or two, but it was enough to interfere with Bobrovsky. So I don't have a problem at all with that call. I completely agree with that call. And I think that's a good standard that if they're going to maintain that standard for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think that's a good standard. The first one, though, I didn't agree with. Goaltender interference is a really tough call, and there is a lot of gray area. And people will say, "Well, why is there a lot of gray area?" Well, it's not black and white. And Adam, for our listeners, back in '99 when Dallas won the Cup, Brett Hull's foot was in the crease. Now, to the letter of the law, that year they instituted a rule. They wanted to make it black and white, so they instituted a rule that if your foot, your toe, your pinky toe, your big toe was in the crease, it was no goal. Well, we took a lot of goals away that were good hockey goals, and so they tried to make it black and white, and that became a complete debacle.
Right.
And so there is a lot of judgment there, unfortunately, and it gives us something to talk about every year in the playoffs, because goaltender interference is certainly always a hot topic.
It is certainly entered into the equation for the Hurricanes. I want to push back one thing on the second goal, the one that was disallowed on the ice. And I don't remember who the on-ice official was, but he waved it off emphatically right away, so he had conviction in the call. I said it at the time that this was not a case where Mikkola forced Cirelli into Bobrovsky. Cirelli was in the crease of his own volition.
Correct.
But Bobrovsky completely, John Cooper was so right last night. Bobrovsky quit on the play, threw his stick to the ice. That was stick was not knocked out of his hand. So he went so far as to try and sell it to the point where, like in soccer, he would have gotten a yellow card for flopping. And in basketball, he might have gotten a technical foul for flopping. He completely sold it. That, to me, is the problem with that, is that the goaltender's getting the benefit of the doubt.
Hey, it's Adam Golden. I'm in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Is it ever too soon to seek out you and your expertise?
Really, there's no too soon. It's time to get serious. So if you're 50 or over, we call it the financial red zone. And that's when really it's time for you to take control of your money and make sure you have a firm on your side that's a fiduciary planning firm, which means they take your side at all times. Now, we'll do this for the next 10 of you who call. This is a $1,000 value, but I'm going to waive my planning fee to make sure you get your total retirement plan and you get on the right path for retirement.
Call 888-843-0013, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Where they might not otherwise, where they shouldn't otherwise get it.
Well, and this is always a hot topic because, and we may see it tonight with Anderson and Net for the Hurricanes. You know, their goaltending at this time of year, we see it with Swayman in Boston. We see it with Anderson so far in with Carolina. You know, the I guarantee you, John Cooper told his players before the game, don't make it, you know, I can guarantee you he didn't say, hey, go interfere with the goaltender.
Right.
but what he would say and what any good coach would say would be, let's make things difficult. We got to get traffic to the net. We got to get bodies in front of them. And unfortunately, when you do that, you run the risk of crossing that line, and with refereeing, you know, this would happen a lot. You know, Corey Perry was the master of the whistle would blow and he'd accidentally fall on the goaltender, and as a referee, you've got to communicate with that player and say, hey, you're on the line right now. Like, you know, at the next whistle, listen, I've warned you two or three times. You're bumping into Anderson. You may get a penalty, and then you go over to the coach and say, hey, I've warned him. I've warned your guy two or three times. The next time he goes near the goalie, I'm going to call it. And sometimes you get called for that, for a play that maybe wasn't as egregious as it was earlier, but it kind of adds up over time.
Tim Peel at Tim C. Peel 20 on Twitter, Snipes and Stripes podcast, is joining us here. We're going to get to tonight's hockey game in a second. I have a question, though, about what could make everybody's life a lot more easy. We've had some, in the last handful of regular season Hurricanes games, we've had puck, did the puck fully cross the goal line or not? One on the Hurricanes game, one it was a game, it might have been Winnipeg and Colorado from earlier in
yes,
the series,
yep.
Right? Where, why can't the league in soccer, again, to bring up soccer for a second time, they can draw lines, laser lines. Tennis can determine a 135-mile-an-hour serve moving exactly if the ball brushed the back of the service line or not to be a good serve or a fault, if you will. Why can't the NHL have that and just prove to everybody, give it to both broadcasts or multiple broadcasts, five sometimes, so everybody sees the proof rather than wait till the next day or, you know, 20 minutes later. Why can't the NHL just say, hip, there it is. Definitively, this is the answer. This is why it was a good goal or not a good goal.
Well, that's a great question, a great point of view when you're comparing it to other sports. But now we're getting into technology. And if you know anything about me, Adam, my son that's 12 years old has to run my TV for me downstairs in the basement. Okay. So when it comes to technology, I agree with you. You would think I know exactly what you mean when you see it in tennis and in other sports. I don't know why we haven't been able to adopt that at the NHL level. You would think that we would be able to. Because sometimes, you know, that goal in Winnipeg the other night, it looked like it was over from the angles they had and so on. But if we had the technology to to be able to show the viewership rate at, have it be instantaneous, I think that'd be beneficial for everybody.
Everybody. And if, like a laser in the like on the back of the goal line, so we know definitively that the puck right. crossed it. All right, let me get to two hockey questions because you've been on the ice for as many years as you have, and I know you have opinions on what the differences are in series. Does Boston, Toronto come down to as much about the Stars for Boston outplaying the Stars for Toronto, or has this been a bench problem in terms of the guy behind it, Jim Montgomery versus Sheldon Keefe?
You know what? I said before the series, it's a great point you brought up. I said before the series that Jim Montgomery would outcoach Sheldon Keefe. And, for example, Sheldon Keefe late in the game, it's a 3-1 game the other night. They're at home. They need two goals. There's less than 3 minutes to go, and he puts out Ryan Reeves with less than 3 minutes to go. And I'm watching that game, and that just absolutely made no sense. And no disrespect to Ryan Reeves, but, well, I guess I am disrespecting, but I don't even think he should be in the lineup
right.
because he's not fast enough to play at this level in the playoffs. And so I think he is being out-coached, and I think he's doing a poor job managing his bench. And I honestly think that Boston will finish them off tonight, and I think that Sheldon Keefe will no longer be the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they'll have a new coach before the start of next season. And as far as the Stars, you know, I've been very critical of Austin Matthews, great regular season player. Jeremy Roenick, my partner on Snipes and Stripes, he says Austin Matthews may go down as the most prolific goal scorer, U.S.-born goal scorer ever, and that may be very, very true. But I don't see the fire in his belly that I see when I see a Brad Marchand. And people will criticize Marchand, but they'd love to have him on their team. Brad Marchand is going to cross-check you in the face. He's going to spear you in the throat. He may try to kill you as he's getting to the net to score a goal. But that is what he knows what it takes to win in the playoffs. Mitch Marner doesn't have what it takes right now. Maybe he will get that. Maybe he will in a couple of years. I don't know. But right now, they don't have the makeup on that team to get them to the next level, and I think Boston will finish them off tonight.
Just to be clear, cross-checking somebody in the face or spearing somebody in the throat or killing them, those would all be penalties, right?
Well, yes, in the regular season, not in the playoffs, but no, I'm absolutely. But I'm just trying to explain to people that is the intensity that Brad Marchand has. That is what he is willing to do, whatever it takes, because, you know, they won one cup since he's been there. They lost to the Blues in 2019. So it's been 5 years since they've been back. Playing for the Stanley Cup, he knows how difficult it is to win a Stanley Cup, as does Rod Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes. They won, what year was that, 2006, maybe?
Yep.
Six, yeah, exactly. And, you know, 18 years later, maybe they're in a position where they can make a good run because they certainly have a good team.
Yeah, no question about it. Final question. I know you can't officiate different players differently. But Matt Rempe.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
When you go into a game and Matt Rempe is in it, because he don't play a lot, which tells me everything, but he doesn't play a lot. He's played under 6 minutes in most games. What do you guys talk about with regards to a player like that?
Your antennas go up. You have to be aware every time. It's kind of similar to when Tom Wilson was in his heyday and would take multiple suspensions throughout the year. And every time he was on the ice, you had to be aware of where he was, because players like that, there are some players that kind of finish their checks, but they'll skate away as the puck's being passed. You know, Rempe and guys like Tom Wilson, there it could be 1,001, 1,002. It could be late, so you've got to keep your eyes on them at all times, you know, and also everybody else on the ice. But when players like that come on the ice, you know, you don't go into a game with any preconceived notions, but you certainly, as the officiating crew, you'll sit there in the dressing room or at your pregame lunch and you'll go through the lineup and say, hey, we've got to be aware when this guy's on the ice, this guy's on the ice, this guy likes to crash the crease, this guy likes to hit late, all those sorts of things. So our guys will do their homework before each game to make sure they've got a good understanding of the personnel on the ice.
Snipes and Stripes, the podcast, Tim Peel, former NHL on-ice official, and Jeremy Roenick. That's entertaining. I appreciate your time. I'm gonna call you again, if that's okay.
Absolutely, Adam. I appreciate it, and good luck tonight. I'll be watching.
Thank you very much, Tim Peel, former NHL on-ice official.
I chose William Peace University because of the small class sizes. I feel that you get more one-on-one time with teachers. With class sizes like about 16 per teacher, you can really get that one-on-one help a lot of students need.
A 12-to-1 student-to-faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.